98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf's Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. That's American-owned and American-dreamed Brooklyn Betting.
When Maloney takes over, here's everything you need to know that's occurred in about the last couple hours while you are starting your rounds at work or whatever you're doing right now. Maloney, what you got?
So linebacker Chandler Jones was present at the first day of the Arizona Cardinals training camp yesterday. So what's the relationship like right now? Here's Cards head coach Cliff Kingsbury.
He's been great. If you know Chandler, phenomenal human being, obviously a phenomenal football player, and we're just all excited to have him and have him back healthy, and can't wait to watch him this season.
Do you have a chance to talk to him at all?
Yes. Yeah. It was good. It was good. Like I said, I mean, y'all know his personality. He's jovial and looked in great shape, so really, really excited to have him back.
Do you guys think Chandler Jones will get traded this season?
Yes. I do not. No, I do not. I think that Chandler Jones is going to go out and ball out this year. I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe they will try to give him a bag of money at some point in time. I think he's going to be highly successful, provided he goes about his business, which I think that he will do that, just knowing he's going to be paired up with J.J. Watt, also have Jordan Phillips, Marcus Golden on the other side right there. I think he is on the precipice of having a huge year, and who knows? That bag of money is coming towards Chandler Jones. It just might not be the Cardinals.
I don't think the Cardinals are going to have a disastrous season, but I don't think in this division they're going to be a playoff team after what I saw in the way they finished last year. Hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully they improve greatly. But as soon as you start getting close to that trade deadline and you've got a guy that's not going to be with you in the future, if he doesn't like his contract, you chose not to extend him, well, then I think it's going to be a Terrell Suggs situation, that somebody's going to give you something for nothing. And when I say nothing, I mean a guy you were going to lose no matter what. Now, where I would be great to be wrong, Cardinals go to the playoffs and he signs a contract extension in the middle of the year.
But while Chandler and Jordan Hicks were at camp, 11-time Pro Bowl receiver Larry Fitzgerald was not.
Yeah, I mean, one of the best players of all time. We've been over all that. Ball's in his court. We feel like we have great depth in that group regardless, but we'll have a plan ready either way.
What is going on, guys?
To me, this proves what our late speculation was around late last week and this week. I think it's money. And keep in mind, he's not under contract, so it's not an argument or anything else. I think Larry Fitzgerald is content to say, this is how much it takes for me to go through putting my body through the pain of an NFL season, and the Cardinals haven't hit that number. And the Cardinals are saying, this is how much we're willing to pay for a guy that catches about 60 balls a year. Now, we could argue why he's only catching 60 balls a year. I kind of look at Kyler Murray and the head coach on that, but that's where they are. I think he'll play if they offer him more money, and I think the Cardinals question whether they should offer him more money.
In every chapter of the Larry Fitzgerald story, I've been wrong.
Maybe he's doing it just to mess with you.
No, you know what? It feels so good to actually say that. I've been wrong in every chapter of the Larry Fitzgerald story here, Basinonians. But the one thing I have been very, very consistent on, Larry Fitzgerald obviously is waiting for something. He's waiting for something, and that something is obviously somebody to hit the magic number. And if that magic number is hit, I think he'll play.
Devin Booker started for Team USA last night in their 120-66 win over Iran at the Olympics. So what was it like going from the tough finals loss right to the Olympics?
I mean, it's honestly an honor, you know, to be able to represent this country and, you know, put on the uniform that many greats have worn before me and represent this country to the highest degree. But like you said, LeBron said, obviously the opportunity that we had a week ago, you know, will never go away. You know, even if end up getting one later down the line, you look back at the one that you lost and said what it could have been.
Your reaction?
I can't believe he's our guy.
I love the fact that he's our guy.
I know.
That is so good.
I mean, take that answer. And greatest PR firm in the world. Take that answer and make it better. Can't.
For me, first
you
of all,
can't.
It shows so much gratitude. Once again, it shows the culture of the Phoenix Suns and Monty Williams. the five pillars, if you will. Show up on time, work hard, share the ball, play defense, and be grateful.
Mm-hmm.
The gratitude for the players that have come before. Listen to them talk about it. Grateful, the gratitude of the players that have come before him. That's why he wanted to go out and represent his country. To me, that's just fantastic.
I'm happy to be here, but it will never erase losing an NBA championship.
That too.
Isn't that what that's our guy?
I'm sure Burns and Gamble will ask Suns owner Robert Sarver about Devin Booker being in the Olympics when he joins them at 3 o'clock today in studio. But also, Herm Edwards said during Media Day yesterday that the ongoing investigation of the ASU football program is not a distraction for the team.
Well, for us, it hasn't been a distraction at all, to be quite honest. If you watch our players work and our coaching staff, we're excited about getting back in the building tomorrow. They're there today, but I'm going to be back in the building tomorrow and really going forward on starting camp on the 4th of August. I heard the local guys now, you guys will actually hopefully get to attend practice and kind of see what it looks like. So we're a focused football team, and I think it has a lot to do with the players that decided to come back in the spring.
Well, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, it's funny. From about the time SMU got the death penalty until about 5 years ago, I would have told you that answer is either a lie or the man's clueless. I mean, there's no way around it. An investigation and what that means is terrible for any program, and guys are totally in CYA mode and they're scattering like crazy. Nowadays, that's just not the case. Colleges don't respect the authority of the NCAA. They don't cow to the NCAA's threats of what's going to happen if you don't self-impose penalties. I actually believe him. Irrelevant of what happens, I believe him right now. They're not distracted.
Yeah, no, I think he's right on that. The players aren't distracted. This is not a distraction to the players, in my opinion. It's to the coaches that are involved in this investigation. Now, that to me, I think it's the coaches, the grown men that are involved in this investigation that could actually be distracted. And that's a distraction in and of itself. But, yeah, you know what, the players, I don't think they're distracted at all.
Coming up next, he wasn't there for training camp. Last time that happened, 2004. It's the latest on Fitz. It's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The number one story of the day.
It feels great. It's like first day of school every year. You know, you never lose the excitement being back around the guys.
We in our usual rooms, and Larry's room is usually on the far right, and it's not the same right now. So I'm going to give him a holler.
What's the best part about training camp?
When it's over and the real games start?
We're not paying attention to the outside noise. We know we have to do. We know the expectations that we have for ourselves, first and foremost.
Doug and Wolf's The One.
What? It is just still an amazing statement to say this. And we all know it's amazing what this man has accomplished. But just to listen to it, yesterday was the first day the Cardinals have had training camp without Larry Fitzgerald since Flagstaff of 2004. And that was only because of about a three-day contract holdout.
Oh, my goodness.
This is the first day training camp has started with him not on the roster since he was a Pitt Panther in 2003.
A Pitt Panther.
That's where we are, that this is total history of what's going on, but is Larry Fitzgerald history?
Yeah, I mean, one of the best players of all time. We've been over all that. Ball's in his court. We feel like we have great depth in that group regardless, but we'll have a plan ready either way.
I think he's tired of answering the question.
I think he's tired of answering the question.
You know what?
Right,
hey,
there.
Listen, one of the greatest players of all time. We've been all over that. Right? We've done that.
We've said what we had to say to tell you how good he is.
It's just awesome.
Coming up this morning or this afternoon,
we're,
I should say.
Done with that.
At 3 o'clock, I'm sure Bernsey does not need me to tell him how to do his job.
Yeah.
But Robert Sarver is live in studio to talk Chris Paul, Devin Booker, the Suns, the past, and the coming season.
Okay.
And so I hope Bernsey doesn't mind, but you are friends with Larry, Robert. What does he know about the future of Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I wouldn't mind that question being asked, Bernsie.
Yeah, there you go, right there. Hey, are you going on vacation anytime soon with Larry, Robert?
Because if they are, that might affect having some things. Is it different, Cliff, to not have him around?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's, like I said, one of the best players of all time. Been such an incredible representative of this organization and this state and this league. And, you know, y'all have talked to him over the years. Great person just to be around, brings a lot of juice. So definitely like being around him.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Let's get a little more specific. Great question was asked to Cliff Kingsbury.
Okay.
We've been asking for 400 years, is he going to play? Is he going to play? Is he going to play? Have you talked to him? And blah, blah, blah. Has there ever been a moment where Larry Fitzgerald has told you that he's not playing?
No.
So it's a double negative, but you get it. Has he ever told you he's not playing?
Yes.
No. Meaning he's never told you he's not playing.
Right, okay.
So he could be playing.
Kind of get you.
He didn't tell you he is playing,
right?
But he's never said he's not playing.
No. Yeah, you know, you'd have to ask him, but I haven't had that discussion.
Well, that's good. If you want Larry Fitzgerald to come back and play for the Arizona Cardinals, that's good.
So,
he's never told me.
So what do you think he's going to do? What do you know?
Yeah, we've left in his court. I mean, he's earned that, and that's how we felt as an organization, and so that's where it's at.
Oh, okay.
Once again, I have been wrong on everything in regard to Larry Fitzgerald. Ron Wolfley reporting. I have been dead wrong on Larry Fitzgerald. But the one thing that I have been right on, I think Larry Fitzgerald is waiting for something, and that something is obviously a number. It's a number to be hit. That is, he's waiting. He's giving it every chance to develop, every chance for that number to be reached by a team, and then he'll consider playing based on what that team is and the circumstances surrounding that team. That's what I think. He's waiting on a number to be reached. And maybe he's got three or four teams that he's hoping this team will. Maybe it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have been rumored, of course, because of BA and his connection with Tom Brady as well. Maybe it's that. That's not going to happen, in my opinion. But everyone out there says, hey, that's what he's waiting for. Well, yeah, okay. I'll believe it when I see it. But you get my point. He's waiting on a number. And if somebody hits that number, he's going to play. There's obviously a drop-dead date in his mind that he's going to make the announcement he's going to retire if nobody reaches that number.
It's really interesting that I'm going to ask you a question. You can text us on the FanDuel text line at 620-620. Tell me your answer to this. Please include your name when you do it. I don't sense from the fan base, and I want to know if the Red Sea says, no, you're way off here. I don't sense from the fan base frustration, anger, disappointment at Cliff Kingsbury, Steve Keim, Michael Bidwell, choose your target for not having Fitz back.
Mm.
Because if when you say, and granted, this is an interpretive statement here, but when I hear Cliff Kingsbury say the ball is in his court, to me, that means we've offered him the contract. He knows how we value him, and he's not here. So, and I don't fault Larry Fitzgerald at all for saying this is what it takes to get me to put my body through this punishment and play year 17.
Absolutely, Douglas.
So I'm on with you, Larry, and I don't fault Steve Keim myself if he says this is the financial value per salary cap in a COVID environment where the cap didn't go up. And this is what Larry Fitzgerald is worth to us just on the field. So even though these two sides are at a gap, I don't hear people yelling and screaming, well, how dare you not give Larry Fitzgerald the money? And yet I also don't hear people screaming and yelling at Larry. Hey, we've got a chance. Where are you going?
Yes.
What is going on? I mean, it seems like the fan base is very fair and accommodating, if that's a good way to put it. Am I right?
No, I think you're right on that, Douglas. I do. I am surprised. There's no doubt about it. But I think Larry Fitzgerald himself knows, hey, listen, you've got to pay me what you think I'm worth. You have to pay me what you think I'm worth. Here's what I think I'm worth. And I think that's what Larry is waiting for, somebody to hit the number he thinks he's worth and would actually make it worth his while to go out and play year 18. That's what Larry's waiting for from his perspective, I think. Unless I miss my bet, I think that's what he's waiting for. Having said that, too, the Arizona Cardinals are like, listen, you can't pay people that you don't think are going to help you win games. You don't pay a Larry Fitzgerald, as legendary and future Hall of Famer as Larry Fitzgerald is, and Larry Fitzgerald himself would tell you this. You don't pay me to appease the fan base. You pay me to win games, because this is the National Football League, baby. Even Larry himself would be the first one to step up and say that. He's not looking for charity. He wants to get paid.
Well, it seems like that's where we are. Now, Christian Kirk, if my math is correct, Christian Kirk was going into the second grade when Larry Fitzgerald left for Flagstaff for his first NFL training camp. Now he's a teammate, and now he's no longer a teammate of Larry Fitzgerald. Where is that impact going to be felt the most?
I'm not sure I really had time to, you know, really process that, but I think just the immediate, you know, kind of reaction to it is just, it's just a missing, you know, just a missing face that, you know, you, something that is so constant, you know. I told myself, you know, that even the past couple of years, because you never know going into a new year, you know, with him, if he's going to retire, if he's not, but you know, never to take any moment around him for granted. And, you know, I always made sure to cherish, you know, whether it was the last game, last practice, last time sitting down eating dinner, you know, whatever it was, just to, you know, make sure I cherish those moments. But, you know, I think that's the, you know, the first immediate reaction for me.
I cannot even imagine the way that he must feel, Christian Kirk. Can you imagine? I remember what it was like to be a kid who was 12 years old, and all I did was collect cards. I collected cards, football cards, and oh my goodness, Walter Payton! Walter Payton cards! Oh my, I had 5 Walter Payton cards that I absolutely loved and would carry them around as a 12-year-old kid. And then suddenly, there I am, out in Honolulu, Hawaii, at Aloha Stadium, walking in, and my locker is next to Larry, or next to Walter Payton. Stop and think about that. And I had that entire week being out of the Pro Bowl to sit there and ask Walter Payton questions about how I should go about my business as a professional athlete. And then I think of Christian Kirk right there, what he said. Can you imagine growing up in this city? How old was he?
I think he's going into the second grade. I think he was 7,
right,
a couple months away from his 8th birthday.
He played wide receiver. He's played football for a long time. And now all of a sudden he is right next to Larry Fitzgerald. That has got to be a mind job. And I can only imagine the impact that's had on Christian Kirk as a man, being next to Larry Fitzgerald and all the conversations I'm sure they've had.
Couple texts in. Taylor said, I'm not mad at all. Larry has his right to refuse a number. Cards have the right not to offer it. Just, we hope we get to celebrate at some point. And hopefully I have your name right. Caesar says, I'm not frustrated because it's that time. He deserves to go anywhere he wants to go, whether it's here and we make a run, whether it's Tampa, back home in Minnesota. People say that, but what if it's the Rams?
You know,
what if it's the 49ers? Are you okay with that?
The Red Sea wants to celebrate Larry Fitzgerald, whether he retires or not. They just want that celebration.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's where they're
at. He's certainly worth it and deserved it. Hey, the trade deadline is about, I have to do the math in my head here, but about 52 hours away or so. Mike Hazen's going to join us in about 20 minutes.
Wow.
To let us know what's going on with the Arizona Diamondbacks and whether it's going to be a big sell-off or whether there's not a lot of smoke right now. So that's coming up in about 20 minutes. Up next, really something that we looked at social media and we got jacked up about. If you're a Suns fan, do you read it the same way we do? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Pac's in Texas, if you're wondering. He's on that road trip.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Diamondbacks in action tonight, taking on the Rangers, 5 o'clock. That game is on ESPN 620 AM. The general manager, just about 50 hours or so away from the trade deadline, going to join us coming up in a little over 10 minutes. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf in the Auction Community Studios. And the first sentence had to get you a little nervous. Thank you to Phoenix and all the fans on a great season. And there's a bunch of pictures of him and his teammates. That's from the official Twitter handle of Chris Paul.
Okay.
And I first read that and I thought, oh, no. This is the goodbye tweet.
Okay. No.
Then he said, back to work. I'm like, hey, Luke, okay, if you're back to work, I mean, you already said in your press conference that you weren't willing to admit what your future plans were, but you still said.
I mean, it'll take a while to process this or whatnot, but it's the same mentality. Get back to work. You know what I mean? I ain't retiring, if that's what you're asking. That's out. So, you know, back to work.
So I'm not retiring, but I'm not willing to say what I'm going to do.
Give him a break, though. He just got knocked out of the NBA Finals.
Doesn't get a break. He could have said, I'm not
give
going anywhere.
Give him a break, Dougley.
But then, this is going to make you feel good. Hashtag can't give up now. And when you see the hashtag in the context of pictures with your teammates, nothing official yet, but it's hard to read that and not say Chris Paul's a Sun next year and maybe even longer than that.
Why do you say that, though, Douglas? Why? What do you think happened? They've come to some type of an agreement, even though it's verbal? Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I think.
Okay.
I think he knows what he wants to do, and he just kind of is making it official in his mind, whether it's an opt-in for 1 year, 44, or opt-out and then sign a new contract as a free agent with the Phoenix Suns and to stay. I just don't think you're going to use the hashtag can't give up now.
Yeah.
And have pictures of you and your teammates if they're your former teammates.
Then again,
that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, then again, if you stop and think about it right there,
he's just
creating leverage for himself. I agree with you. You know that I agree with you. This was very.
Are you
very
saying
promising.
When he's saying I can't give up now? It's my quest to win a championship. Goodbye to the Suns.
Can you imagine saying this? Can't give up now.
No.
Well,
we're good.
Well, Suns, you're not going to give up now, are you?
We're good.
Robert Sarver, you're not going to give up now. You're going to pay me, right? You know, I'm just saying. Somebody out there read it like that. I'll bet you. Somebody did. I didn't. I totally agree with you right now. I thought that was very, very promising, especially this coming on the heels of Gambo's report on this thing, too, that this is a very amicable relationship that's going on between the Suns and Chris Paul. I took that tweet as it's a fait accompli. It is something that is done. And, yeah, they can't sign it. They can't make it official. But it's something that I think happened maybe even weeks ago.
I can't imagine personally working away from my family. That would drive me absolutely crazy.
It is no fun. I have done it.
Unless it was so forced upon me, and for those of you that are forced to do it, if that's what's best for your family, you know, God bless you. I would really, really struggle in that environment. And if I tried to do it, I would probably end up changing the plans after 3 to 6 months and saying, this just is not working. But if it's just about basketball, I don't know Chris Paul. I've never had a beer with him. But I have to assume he's going to be a lot happier as a Sun than he would anywhere else, Lakers included. Mm-hmm. And I'm just talking about basketball here because I don't think it's selfish to say I want to win a championship as a point guard. And you're not really the point guard of the Los Angeles Lakers.
No, you are not.
And therefore, it's different. Now you're a spot-up shooter, and maybe occasionally you lead a fast break every now and then. Now, there's no doubt it might be great and fun to be with your best friend. And do not think that for a minute that Chris Paul has not heard from LeBron James multiple times that he needs to become a Laker. But the way he talks about Mikal Bridges, the way he talks about Devin Booker, and the way that all of us that like the game and are involved in the game know how much his Clippers experience drove him crazy when basically the team didn't like him because he outworked everybody. And now he's got a team that matches his work ethic, wants to listen to him, is not intimidated by his anger with losing, and actually embraces him. This is everything he's ever wanted in a team with the maturity to appreciate it. So just talking basketball and not family and money, it doesn't make sense for him to go anywhere else.
Yeah, and for me right now, the one gain of having Chris Paul that I want to see solidified over anybody else is DeAndre Ayton. What the impact that Chris Paul has had on DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre, you showed us what you got. You showed us what you have. You showed us what you are capable of. There's no doubt about it. Did you have a great finals? You did not have a great finals. You did not. But I think even then, in the long run, that is going to help DeAndre Ayton. As long as he's got a Chris Paul, once again, year two, back-to-back years. You've established what your expectation is. You've established where that bar is. Chris Paul was the one holding it up, and you took it, DeAndre Ayton. You took it and you ran. You jumped over that bar. Now, what are you going to do to follow that up? To consolidate those gains. And Chris Paul is going to be here. That's the thing I'm most encouraged about, if in fact Chris Paul is going to be here again. Be here for even more than a year. DeAndre Ayton, I mean, if you're going to have Chris Paul here for 3 years, it's time to sign DeAndre Ayton to a max contract. Because there's not going to be any turning back. And it's going to be DA that is going to do it. Not Chris Paul. It's going to be DA. He's been shown the way to do it. Now it's up to DeAndre Ayton to take the bar out of Chris Paul's hand and raise it even more. We'll see. But that, more than anything else, has got my attention on Chris Paul.
If you have questions about this, if you're wondering what's the future of Chris Paul or whether or not Robert Sarver is going to pay max to DeAndre and keep Chris Paul on a contract extension, and he's got the right to sign a two-year extension on top of the money they're already paying Devin Booker, they can give him that. Then there's campaign money, who certainly made himself some money in these finals. There's also Mikal Bridges. There is so much money they can spend to keep this team together. Will he do it? Those are the questions that Burns and Gambo are going to ask coming up at 3 o'clock today. Robert Sarver live in the Auction Community Studios. So that's going to be something that if you're a big Suns fan and you want to know about the future, you're going to want to tune in to Burns and Gambo today, 3 o'clock. Up next, 50 hours, Friday, 1 o'clock in the afternoon is the Major League Baseball trade deadline. Mike Hazen is considered a seller by everybody else. What are they going to do, and when are they going to do it? That's next with the general manager of the Diamondbacks on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
In Wolf Mornings on the home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Diamondbacks front office focus.
Every Wednesday, 8:45, a member of the front office joins the Doug and Wolf show. And this morning, it's Mike Hazen, general manager. And he's on the Coulter Automotive Group sports line. Mike, good morning. How you feeling?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Good.
Doing well, Mike. Really appreciate you joining us. So right now, what is it, 50 hours?
About 50 hours or so, yeah.
The trade deadline
52
here.
52, maybe.
Is it active? Are you getting a lot of calls, Mike?
Yes, it's been very, very, very active, which is good. You have to understand who we might, you know, where those trades might go. And I'm not sure that, you know, we're staring at something like we were necessarily a couple of years ago, just, you know, in terms of maybe some of the bigger volume type deals that we saw. But yeah, there's a lot of interest in our guys. You know, I think when you have a lot of guys that are sort of at or near the end of, you know, their contractual terms, those seem to be the areas where the buying teams, you know, focus a lot of their attention. And, you know, I think the shifting thing with the trading deadline, which is crazy in baseball, you play 162 games, you would think that the last 4 or 5 days leading up to the deadline in a sea of 162 games, that 3, 4, 5 games wouldn't make a difference. I mean, it seems like it makes a little bit of a difference as those buying teams sort of jockey for position and where they're sitting relative to a playoff spot. As to exactly how aggressive they're going to be at the deadline. Now, you know, we got to flush that out. They might be playing chicken with us in terms of what their intentions are. You always have to keep that in the back of your mind. But it does seem interesting that, you know, some of the teams in and out shifting, and as players go off the board, that shifts too. So the next 50 hours, as much as I have a feeling for where some things could go, it usually takes a hard turn at some point, and you're surprised by some of the conversations that you may have at or near the end.
What about guys on your team that aren't at the end of a contract? I know the dance that you're going to have to play with me here, but if I'm a buyer and I can't get Trevor Story and I can't get Javi Baez, can I get Nick Ahmed?
So this is not a dance. I think it's a very fair question. And to this point, I wouldn't say that every conversation that we've had has centered around guys that are coming to the end of their contract. I don't want to make it seem that way. I mean, we are getting asked about everybody. I mean, name a good player on our roster. We have been asked about that player, mm-hmm. as you can imagine. And, mm-hmm. it, the hard part of trying to weed that out is what is conversational, what is just trying to get information out of us about exactly how we feel. Keep in mind, not all of these things are meant to be consummated on July 30th. Some of these things preload into the off season, and that happens a lot, where you're having conversations with a club about a player, and it's not a situation where necessarily, teams are buying for the immediacy of going to the World Series. They're fishing for information in some cases, and that's fair. We do the same thing. And so some of those deals could end up happening down the line, maybe even into the off season that you'll have conversations with. Now, it's hard for us to sort of weed these out in the moment in terms of what the real interest to do it within the next 2 days is, because we'll find that out on Friday. But we're having conversations about a lot of different things. I've said this to you before. I'll say this to you again. We are in the position we are in, and it is an unenviable position to be in as the worst team in baseball, and that wasn't our intent to get here. I don't think we're one or two players away from sitting with the Dodgers, Giants, and the Padres at the top of the division competing for the playoffs this year. So we have to be open-minded as to what this might look like moving forward. I am skeptical that that is going to mean that there's going to be a mass amount of trades in the next couple of days, because that's just not practical. But we have to be open-minded to where the construction of this roster went wrong and how we're going to fix it.
Mike, regardless, you're a buyer or a seller, do you enjoy the juice of the deal and making a deal?
I enjoy that part of it as it becomes real. The anxiety around making sure you're prepared for a deal. Mm-hmm. Have you seen every single player that you'd want to ask about, especially on this side of things? I think when you're targeted on the other side, the anxiety is a little different. You want to push to add to your club with every ounce that you have. I mean, you want to deliver players to your clubhouse, right? So there's there's the anxiety of not wanting to walk down on July 30th and be like, hey, we're making a push for the playoffs and we didn't do anything. But on this side of things, it's a little different. On this side of things, that anxiety is more, to do the best job you can. Think about it. Every team has 150, 180 players in their system. When you're talking about a situation we're in where we have a wide swath of players that we could consider, trading from our team to another club, you have to canvas all of those players and make sure that you're not missing something, especially guys that are far away. The guys that are far away are the most likely to be the guys that are given up in trades. We would do the same thing. It's the easiest thing, I think, for you to rationalize when you're maybe being aggressive on a buying side. So you got to take that on the selling side. You got to know the landscape of these organizations front and back to feel like you're not missing on a guy that you look back on 3 years from now and say, man, we probably could have had that guy if we had, spent a little bit more time. So that's the anxiety that you feel 50 hours out. And the work we're putting in every single hour we're sitting here is canvassing these organizations top to bottom.
Wow. Talking to the Diamondbacks general manager, Mike Hazen, it's interesting you said about you get close to the deadline and it's three games out of 162, and yet it seems to affect things differently. That's why you're in that position, because after last night, I'd be selling everybody. Last night, it bothered me more than the 22-1 game, because you got a pitcher on the mound that's coming off of Tommy John on a strict pitch count, and only one inning did he pitch over 15 innings against you, and it's your three veterans that have massive base-running gaffes. In order for you to process this trade deadline, I do have to ask, have the veterans become comfortable with losing on this team? Because I did not understand last night's decisions or game plan.
I don't know that answer. I mean, I get you asking the question, and it's a fair question, and it's in the Rolodex of questions that get asked about. I mean, it's a hard when I ask those questions, when you ask questions of that ilk, not necessarily that specific question, those are hard things to put your finger on. I'm sorry. We've been doing this all for a long time. Those are hard things to put your finger on. And no, I don't believe that anyone's comfortable with losing. I think that is, as much as I go back and forth on this team, and I think to myself, and I agree with you, last night's game is more frustrating than losing 22-1. As much as the 22-1 becomes a headline and the Dodgers hit six home runs against you and it's painful, you know, you just want it to end, losing one-run games has literally been the difference in this season for us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it has not been the difference in us sitting with the Dodgers, the Giants, and the Padres, but it 100% has been the difference in whether or not we're sitting at 500, making maybe a little tougher decision on what to do right now. Losing one- and two-run games have been the marker by which this team has, we've done it probably more than anybody in baseball. And that is the area that we need to fixate on, and we've talked about this before, and the areas that we're going to fix, and it's a much harder fix because as much as you want to say, again, take the Texas Rangers out of a guy coming off Tommy John, the specific example of last night's one-run game, looking at the one-run games in aggregate, which has happened versus the Dodgers, which has happened versus the Giants, and so whatever the specific circumstances have been, and it's happened all across the board. It's not just been last night's type. It's also been we've had leads in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning and lost a one-run game where we had a two-run lead. All of those things together is where my general focus is right now on why that is happening. And yes, base running has been a big part of that. I've said this before, and I think this is the biggest reason. Our defense has been the biggest piece of that because that impacts everything we're doing on the mound. Those are areas we are focusing on fixing.
Can you fix it in the next 50 hours, or is this a long-term problem?
No. We're not going to fix it in the next 50 hours. We have 31 wins. We're not fixing anything in the next 50 hours, right? It's not realistic to do that. But between the next 50 hours and this offseason, yes, I do believe we can fix it.
Mike, how much of a lack of player leadership inside that clubhouse do you think has contributed to where you are?
I don't think it's a lack of player leadership. It's a fair question. I know all of us that have been involved in sports and been on sports teams, like that's the thing for us to always kind of, you know, dive into. We have good players on our team that are good leaders, that are good players that play hard. I don't really question that. I hear what they talk about. I know what they're. It's the focus in these situations. To me, mm-hmm. has been the area that I have the most questions around is why are these things continuously happening in areas that I know we are stressing? And I don't think it's an easy answer. I don't think the answer is just, well, we're not paying attention. That's not the answer. That's not true. Like they are focused on we are paying attention to, I don't think they're tuning anybody out.
Do you lean player or coach when this happens?
Say that again?
And I don't mean like to play the blame game, but in order to fix the problem, do you blame the player more? Do you blame the coach more? Do you blame the message itself more? When this disconnect happens, who do you kind of blame?
Yeah, those are all questions that we ask. Now, in any one specific example, I'm not going to answer it like a blanket because I don't think they all fall into one category. I think there's times where it's the players that are not focused on, you know, doing their job at that particular moment in time. And to your point, to fix the problem, we got to ask why that is. And we got to get to the real reason on why that is. And from a coaching standpoint, I mean, I know what they're saying. I know what they're talking to them about. I know what they're emphasizing. And yet you have to say to yourself, if you said it 50 times and it's not getting through or getting through to the effect that it needs to get through, we've either said it improperly 50 times, it hasn't been received 50 times, and the 51st time, it's going to have to be something different, new, or more impactful. And those are there's a lot to swallow here when you're in the situation that you're in. Even in this conversation of trying to sort of, you know, illuminate the areas that we need to dive into, where we're not going to be able to cover all those things. But those are the reasons we're losing these one-run games to the extent that we are is not just purely based on talent. I don't believe that. I believe that there is still areas of execution that we have not done to the degree that we need to, and that's what we need to continue to work on to fix.
Mike, thank you so much for your time, man, and being a stand-up
guy. Okay, guys.
We really appreciate that, buddy.
Have a good one.
Good luck. There's Mike Hazen joining us again. You want Diamondbacks baseball tonight? They'll be on ESPN 620 AM coming up at 5 o'clock today to wrap up the series with the Rangers. Mike Hazen, the GM, joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. If you're in the market for a pre-owned car, I think you'll be thrilled with a Coulter Cadillac courtesy vehicle. Go to CoulterCadillacTempe.com. Coming up next, Chandler Jones was present at the first day of the Arizona Cardinals training camp. How's Cliff Kingsbury feeling about it? It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.